Tonight, on Life on the Rock, we have Lieutenant Commander Ali Ghaffari, Part 2. We'll hear a reflection from Ali Ghaffari and much more.
Tonight, on Life on the Rock, we have Lieutenant Commander Ali Ghaffari, who is the founder and president of Divine Mercy Academy, the school he started back in 2019 that's revived the classical liberal arts education and Catholic schooling. So it's an episode you will not want to miss. This is a part two of a two-part episode.
And we're now going to a short reflection with Ali Ghaffari from Divine Mercy Academy.
Hello, my name is Ali Ghaffari, and I'm the founder and president of Divine Mercy Academy, a K-8 elementary school in Pasadena, Maryland. We have two missions as Divine Mercy Academy. That's first, to create saints, and second, to create scholars. There are three ways we choose to do this, and one is by being fully and authentically Catholic. The second is by using a Catholic classical liberal arts education, and the third way is being very family-friendly. Let me go into the first one first. So, Catholicism. Our Catholic faith is at the heart of everything we do at Divine Mercy Academy. And Jesus is at the center, not just of religion class, but at the center of every class that we teach here at Divine Mercy Academy. Moreover, our children attend Mass every day. They pray the Rosary every day, the Divine Mercy Chaplet every day. So their every day at school is punctuated by a steady drumbeat of going to Mass and practicing our Catholic faith. Not only that, but every tutor and faculty member, staff member of the school is a serious practicing Catholic. And so they see it lived out every day. The next thing that makes us distinctive is our Catholic classical liberal arts education. Now, this is a great tool. This is the greatest works of Western civilization. They've inspired generations of people from 2,000 years ago until now. They're the great works of the Iliad, the Odyssey, Robin Hood, King Arthur. These books just live and breathe good versus evil, how virtue, how we ought to live our lives, and they capture the attention of kids. And so the kids love these books. These things really help form them to become amazing human beings. The third thing is family friendly. We see ourselves not as a substitute for parents, but as partners in their children's education and as an extension of them. So we encourage parents to come into the school and to be a regular part of our everyday offering of the school. In fact, 80% of our faculty and staff are parents themselves. And so parents are a key and integral part of what we're doing here at Divine Mercy Academy. The product of this combination of characteristics of our school has led to explosive growth. Just 4 years ago, we started with 19 children. We now have well over 140 students at our school. And the joy that goes on in our classrooms every day is palpable. People love being here. Parents tell me all the time how excited and how happy they are that their children are here at the school. Moreover, we're working every day as tutors, as faculty and staff to become saints ourselves and then shoulder to shoulder with these families and these children. And it's a great place to be. If you want to learn more about Divine Mercy Academy, go to www.divinemercy.md.
Wally, welcome back to Life on the Rock and to continue our discussion with the Divine Mercy Academy, a school that was founded back in 2019. And how many students are enrolled in the Divine Mercy Academy now?
We're up to 144.
Okay. So
the year was, one was 19,
okay,
then 45, and then 85, then 112, and now 144.
Wow, so you're going into your fifth year
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So overall, what's been the experience like? Has it been just been challenging or?
Yes, definitely challenging. It's been hard, but it's been filled with joy at the same time. And I love just seeing the joy in the children. I love talking to parents and hearing them just describe the changes that their children are experiencing, the joy that's maybe returned to their lives, how they excitedly tell their parents about what they learned that day in school, or how their faith, they're bringing that faith home and frankly evangelizing their parents and say, we need to pray for that person, or let's pray before our meal, mom and dad. And those things really encourage me.
Now, are a lot of your students, is their background maybe from a public school or home school or a Catholic school or just kind of a mixture? Mm-hmm.
It's a mixture, but most of them come from public schools and homeschoolers. And so a lot of folks, I think, had decided to homeschool, but it wasn't the first choice, but that was the choice that they had. And they saw this as this is exactly what I want. It's got a homeschooling flavor, but it's 5 days a week and has the socialization. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of families who maybe couldn't access a Catholic school, archdiocesan school, have left the public schools and come to join us as well. So those are two major.
I was saying there's, I guess you could say great advantages to a lot of things, but I always kind of wonder with like homeschool, is there that social component, you know?
Yeah.
And because I think you need that. And that's, but yeah, at the same time, a lot of times the smaller I think maybe a class is, the more, there's more of I think a connection between the student and teacher. Mm-hmm. There's just, it's easier to learn, it's easier to maybe ask questions. And to kind of just kind of try to figure things out on your own, you know? It's not like you're just in a factory and just a mass production of what you think you learned and then you realize I didn't really learn anything at all. So I think just grounding a person into those, that into that knowledge. And but why classical? What makes it so unique or special?
It's a great question. So classical itself is a term that kind of denotes its roots in the classical area, the Greeks. So we use the methodology and the materials of the ancient Greeks and the great books of Western civilization. I think there's a better term, and that term is Catholic liberal education. Okay. And that incorporates the classics as well. And so Catholic liberal education, Catholic being our church, our faith, universal, Jesus at the center of it, a liberal being freeing, an education that frees one to know, love, and serve God, to become the best version of ourselves. And then education to lead one out from the darkness of ignorance into the light of the gospel and salvation. And the means by which we do Catholic liberal education is through the classic, the liberal arts, these arts that free one, that a free man would think, would educate himself in, to think about what is the purpose of my life, how ought I form myself or become formed, what does that look like, as opposed to servile arts, which are the arts that make money, if that's engineering or if it's you know, masonry or whatever it is. Those are meant to make money to serve someone else. And so the liberal arts, were the privileged were able to study those to become the best men in order to govern a city in the Greek sense, to be politicians, but in our sense, to be made for heaven.
To be grounded in virtue, I think too, that's the very, because the pagans, they stressed that, to live a virtuous life.
They did.
You know, and we need to hear that, but all the more we're called to even a higher with the theological virtues in our Christian faith. And so I always think that's a very important aspect, that there was a moral truth that a lot of people centuries ago, even centuries before Christ, recognized.
Yeah.
And that was already kind of determined. That this is kind of what it means to be a human. Now, a lot of times I think that's something very distorted today, especially in the whole kind of war on, I think, education in general that you see, where a lot of people, whether they're religious or secular, are saying, what is this? Like, what are we really teaching our kids? And I think there's a lot of frustration and resentment that you see going on in our culture and society.
Yeah.
But again, I think just having that formation in Christ, because the Catholic school system that's ordered towards evangelization, that's a very strong place of contact, is the importance of having a good Catholic school. So can you speak a little bit about that role of evangelization in the lives of young people?
Absolutely. So it comes straight out of the gospel, and go and baptize and make disciples of all nations. And that is the call of our bishops, our shepherds, are to do that. And the way in which they do that are through our Catholic schools. And so that is the primary role of our Catholic schools, are to catechize and to evangelize. And I think our Catholic schools over the last 50 or 60 years, unfortunately, have lost sight of that. And not all of them, there are some amazing schools out there.
Yeah.
But I think many of them have. And instead have seen a greater good in our secular model of education. And so this Catholic liberal education is just a going back to the educational patrimony of the church. It is just reclaiming our educational heritage as Catholics and bringing that back up and saying, no, sanctity, sainthood is our number one goal of our education. And secondly, then it's those other things that prepare us, for a life of supporting our family or contributing to society. It's sainthood first, scholarship second. And I think that's the heart of the church and the role of Catholic schools.
Yeah. And one of my favorite saints is Saint Augustine, who was a great educator.
Yes.
And a lot of people may not realize that, or they do. But, one of the things he always kind of stressed was kind of instilling a sense of wonder in a person to help them grow with learning, to have that healthy curiosity and interest, to kind of pursue it on your own, to ask those questions. And so I always think that's very interesting, even as a teacher. How do you make something interesting? Because a kid today will say, oh, this is boring, I don't want to be here. Yeah. How do you maybe encounter that? How do you, what is your response to that?
Yeah, for sure. You know, that's the age-old question, how do you get a child interested in that?
Right.
And the answer has always been there. It is to invite them in. It is, you know, in the classical methodology, it is, well, what do you notice about this coffee mug? You know, what color is it? Mm-hmm. Why might it be that color? And the child is captured, well, I wonder what that is. Well, maybe, you know, and they start to engage in the material. And so it's an invitation and a capitalizing on the curiosity, the natural questions that come about from children, and then expanding that and working with it and working with the proper age of the child. And as they move up in their age of maturity, accommodating that. So the youngest children love memorizing things, and they love singing and reciting things. And so our kindergartners have memorized the salvation history from the creation to modern days, over 100 events in the history of the world through actions and singing and this and that. It's absolutely amazing to behold. And you don't think a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old would have the capacity, but this goes on for 6-8 minutes of one historical event after another. It's absolutely incredible. And then our middle schoolers, they are reciting Shakespeare's King Henry V, his speech in there. And this also goes on for about 10 minutes where they're just, you know, and they're excited and they're doing it. And they're also, you know, cherishing debates and arguing with each other, because that is where they're at in their life. They love debating and just arguing back and forth. And many parents, you know, this is frustrating for them, but that's just the nature of human maturity and how they mature. But it's working with the human at the developmental stage and as opposed to against the grain. And that's what makes it so beautiful.
Yeah, it's amazing that, you know, the human mind at that age is so active. Mm-hmm. And that intellectual capacity, when you're talking about, you know, kids remembering like salvation history.
Yes.
The 100 points.
Yes.
You know, that's quite the memory work.
It is. It is. And they do it. They love it. And it's just one or two a day. Wow. They do it. And it's incredible. It just honestly, it brings tears to my eyes when I see it.
Wow. Well, we have to go to a break. But whenever we come back, let's get more into the Divine Mercy Academy.
That's great.
There was something I wanted to ask you, because as I was learning a little bit more about the Divine Mercy Academy, there's something that kind of struck me odd that I've never really seen, and that's the the parent involvement. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. I think oftentimes as you look around today, schools discourage parental involvement. They just think that they kind of get in the way. But Pope John Paul II said parents are the primary educators of their children. And so that's the case for us in our school. And over 80% of our tutors, our teachers, are parents. What does this create? It creates an environment where everybody has ownership and they're all in. If I'm teaching your children, you're teaching my children. I may even have one of my children in my class. I'm going the extra mile in everything that I'm very passionate about. This is a family operation.
Wow.
And then having parents, we want parents who maybe don't have a background in teaching, we want them to volunteer and be in the classroom or to help in whatever way that God's given them talents. And so in that way, everyone is able to serve and to contribute to the community in a way that helps and serves their children, because at the end of the day, it's about our children and loving our children, loving God as well. But we love God by serving the least among us. And in this case, it's our children.
Yeah, I think too, on that note, having that sense of community is very important, especially whenever you see people involved with the faith and everything. And a lot, because my mom was a school teacher and she taught first grade and everything. And a lot of times you hear these stories and it's like sometimes you hear that a kid doesn't really have that sense of community. Mm. And you go, that's something so vital to our human formation and development. Of it's not just my parents, but even my neighbors, to that extension of how we witness and interact in those, I think, developments and skills that, you know, we acquire over time. how important that is in the life of a young person, but especially I think whenever it's rooted in the faith. Mm. You know, there's a common belief, common practice. This is what we do, you know, and this is what we're grounded in. And I think that resonates with kids, you know, and it's easy to get thrown off that path, but having that stability mm-hmm. is so important.
Yeah, so my wife and I have been foster parents for several years. And when the children come in from a broken household, mm-hmm. One of the things they inevitably lack is structure in their life, yeah. And the ability to predict what am I supposed to be doing, how am I supposed to be doing that. They don't have the capacity to figure it out on their own. And so when you're able to give that to them, it frees them. It's to be able to be who they want to be, who God called them to be, to relax, to reduce their anxiety, and to live life and to grow. Mm-hmm. And so we see that in the school as well, where we have students come in from broken families or difficult situations where things have not been the way, you know, God would intend at home. And so the school provides that in a loving community of saying, this is how we pray, this is how we teach, this is how we believe, this is how we love one another, this mm-hmm. is how we treat each other. And so in some cases, we always are supplementing with the parents, in some cases more than in other cases. And we, as a community, sometimes I'm strong and you're weak and I carry you, and other times you're strong and I'm weak and you carry me. And we do that as a family together at Wow. Mercy Academy.
And sometimes I wonder with learning, because, you know, one kid can be just at a different level or understanding from somebody else. And I always think, like with a school, if a kid is also receiving a lot of education and formation in mm-hmm. the home, then another one's not, how is that kind of reconciled within the classroom, or how do you approach that?
Yeah, with some difficulty. Yeah. There, at the beginning of the year, there's always a period of time where there's all these many, many cultures that are coming into our culture at Divine Mercy Academy. And I think that's, I mean, the crux of evangelization too, if we're returning to that point, is we want our culture to positively impact those who are coming in and mm-hmm. joining our culture from outside. We don't want that external culture to come in and negatively impact our culture. And so we are able to, you know, through, you know, periods, small moments in the classroom or elsewhere to teach and to form and to help these children to, you know, acclimate to a healthy, joyful environment, and then they become part of our environment, and then they propagate that as well, and then it becomes this momentum, this positive spiral of momentum for the school.
One of the things I also wanted to ask you was the role of apologetics. I always think that's just greatly needed in the world we live in, because a lot of times, you know, we do have to defend our faith, we have to stand up for it. At what age is that introduced maybe into the curriculum?
Yeah, for us, it's middle school.
Middle school.
That's the time when they naturally want to argue. Okay. And so, all the time we want them to understand the why. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't understand the why, if you just understand the what, you're memorizing, regurgitate. That's how I learned. Mm-hmm. It doesn't stay in there in your head. It's, you know, flush. And then what's the next thing I need to learn? But if you understand the why, it stays with you. And then you can connect other things to it. And so our faith, why do we believe this? What is this? Why, you know, when we would bring up some potential, you know, arguments against our faith. Well, why does our faith still stand strong in the face of these objections or these questions about it? And so we want the kids to wrestle with these things, and through that they own their faith. And so middle school is the answer to your question, but
because I always think too with apologetics, I think you just said it, is that it helps us own mm-hmm. our faith, because we're kind of actually having to learn it in a different way mm-hmm. than just from maybe the religious instruction or just catechism, mm-hmm. Where, yeah, again, there's a memorization there and just the what mm-hmm. aspect. Because I think, too, at that age, especially high school, those are the questions kids are usually interested. Mm-hmm. It's like, why, you know, do I have to be here or something? And that's a great, I think, tool to really teach the faith is always the apologetics aspect. Because I do think kids usually have a healthy interest to begin with in that area. But can you tell us a little bit, or where can we find more information about Divine Mercy Academy?
Yeah, if you go to www.divinemercy.md, come check us out.
All right, great. Well, Ali, thank you for being on Life on the Rock.
Thank you, Brother John.
Appreciate it. Father Mark, there is so much great happening here at Divine Mercy Academy, and I just love the fact that kids are being just grounded in a truth and virtue of having that Christian formation that will ultimately lead them to happiness.
Right. Yeah, I was struck by what he said about capturing the attention of the students. Mm-hmm. And that's so vital, you know, as we all know. Yeah. But he said, you know, to ask the kids, you know, what do you notice about this? You know, what do you wonder about? What's your curiosity? So trying to draw them in by, you know, getting them to reflect on it and then lead them to wonder about it. And then in your discussion on apologetics, too, with the faith, he said something I thought was so important. You know, we understand the why behind things, our faith or other things. Then we can start to connect it to other things, other bodies of knowledge or whatever, and then it stays with us. It's just not some rote memorization that's disconnected and we can forget.
Yeah.
But if it's interlocked with other things, and I think a broad Catholic liberal education does that. You're touching all these different topics.
You understand your faith and history and philosophy, even to the mathematics, you know, and I think it's great that, you know, our world, this universe, it's so well ordered.
Right.
You know, it's not there by accident or some random chance.
Right.
But there is a law, an eternal law that God has implanted that man is responding to.
Right.
And this is how we understand our world and the nature around us.
And God doesn't do violence to that, right? He made it. He keeps everything in existence. We push God aside, you know, we're not getting the full picture or even a deeper understanding. And the other part I love about it came out of the interview was he's just coming from the heart of a parent. As he said, you know, the parents are the primary educators, you know, wanting to lead kids in virtue and to form them and ultimately to heaven. You could see the heart of him and having 80% of the tutors and teachers to be parents themselves, you know, of kids in the school. It just gives it so much more drive and motivation and energy to it. You can just feel the excitement he had for this that you think is coming from his place as being a father.
Yeah, I think that's so critical too, is to have those mentors with us, those tutors, those, because you always have your teacher, but then you also need somebody that can help assist you, kind of meet you where you are outside of the classroom.
Yeah.
And just whether that's something moral or intellectual, spiritual, you know, we need those guidance.
Yeah, in his own life, you know, he had a rough start. Mm-hmm. His mother with addiction, she got out of that, married a good man for his stepfather. You know, he credited his stepfather as being so influential in his life. So we all need that in our life. You know, God sends people to us, be open to it, and he uses it. So we'll send you into that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May He send you teachers and mentors and people to help you on your journey. And may God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
No connection feels like this.